TalkZone.com.
Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com.
A 51-yard attempt. The kick on the way with a wind at his back by Eller. It is good. He got it. Here is Desermo trying to give it, and it is ripped away by Miller. Miller took it out of his hands. He's running to the end zone, and a touchdown. Touchdown, Illinois. Throw to the left, caught by Dufresne at the five. Dufresne dives for the pylon. Did he get it? Is he in? He is. Touchdown. Touchdown, Illinois. Snap back, kick by Eller on the way, and it is good. And a sigh of relief here at Memorial Stadium as the lead goes to 20-10. Louisiana Lafayette cannot stop the clock, and the Illini are going to have a win. The two former assistants at Virginia Tech, Ron Zook and Coach Bussell, are going to meet at midfield. The Illini hold on to beat the Cajuns 20-17.
And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog. And a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Not as many highlights, Coach, as the last couple weeks, but nevertheless, a win is a win, and we have to thank the Illini Sports Network and our friend Ed Bond for providing us those highlights, and also the production team here at TalkZone, Dave Olson and Randy Mayer doing a great job for us. In a few minutes, we're going to have Daily Herald sports writer Lindsey Wilhite on with us to talk about the Louisiana Lafayette game, as well as the basketball night of legends that took place Saturday night at Assembly Hall. And if you're an Illini hoop fan like I am, it was an interesting, fun, spine-tingling, emotional night to see some of the old guys back. Marcus Liberty was there. Of course, Kendall Gill, Steve Bardo, Nick Anderson, first time back on campus for a long time. And, of course, the 05 guys led by Olympic gold medalist Darren Williams. It was a lot of fun.
And they actually, in addition to honoring the top 30 players all time, they actually had a game, right?
Yes, they had a scrimmage. Actually, I think it was 15 minutes regular stop clock, and then the second 15 minutes running clock. And Darren and Dee and Roger Powell and Luther Head were on one team.
So the 05 team.
The 05 team against the 89 team, and then they gave the 89 team other younger guys to try to help out. But the score didn't matter. It was like an NBA All-Star game, more or less. A lot of running, dunking, lobbing, but
I'm still shocked that Nick Smith, my favorite player, did not make top 30 all time.
Well, stranger things have happened. But anyway, let's get back to football. We had some great guests the first hour. Again, our thanks to Chris Peacock, Director of Compliance, and Don Harden, the women's volleyball coach. I think you could see why the volleyball program's doing pretty well. This guy's got a lot of energy and passion for what he does. Let's hold off again on Penn State and the other teams and go back to our squad and what we need to do maybe the next 2 weeks to rev up for the conference. As I said, defensively, Saturday was our best ball game. We stopped the run much better. There were less substitutions. They kind of settling in on a lineup, although one guy everybody's waiting to see is this junior college transfer, Donce Hardiman, another safety. My guess is that they'll kind of ease him in, that there's no way they're going to just throw him out there at Happy Valley. But this kid, his reputation is a hard hitter. I'm not sure if he's going to replace Bellamy or Flowers or start at the nickel and replace Garrett Edwards. But unfortunately, Donce got hurt towards the end of camp. Rantoul, it's kind of stunted his progress a bit. But hopefully he'll be ready to go at Penn State. We'll see him on the field and what everybody was talking about, and he'll contribute like Coach Zook has been hoping for. And again, offensively, I don't think we have much to worry about. I think we do have a lot of weapons. We're a little rusty on Saturday. The one thing that we have to do, I believe, offensively, is incorporate Juice's running ability as part of the game plan. We did not see that at Missouri, although maybe Missouri stopped us early on. They did a good job of stopping the option, stopping the pitch, kind of like Iowa did last year. Juice ran wild against Eastern Illinois. And Saturday, again, it was like, you know, let's try some other things. Let's get Dufresne going a little more, LeSure, the freshman running back from Champaign. But I think in order to compete and get to that 6-2 or better record and win some of these tough games on the road, part of the plan has to be, Juice intentionally running the ball, just not out of scrambling, out of pass mm-hmm. plays.
Yeah, that's a weapon that he brings to the game, no question about it. 888-463-6748, our phone number here. You want to talk some Illini football. But, a lot of times you can figure out what to do. You put yourself in the position of the other team, and you kind of can figure out your strengths and weaknesses. And, Boz, if I were Penn State or any defense going up against Juice Williams, he's got strengths, and he's got some areas he needs to get better on. What I would do is I would play a lot of cushion with my defensive backs. Don't get beat deep. We saw at Missouri. We've seen last year. He can throw the long ball. I would definitely have some contain guys, at least one linebacker that sits back and prepares for the run, be it off the cuff or planned. All right. And basically, I would challenge Juice Williams to beat me underneath with the 15-yard, the 18-yard, the 21-yard pass. If he can hit those medium-range passes and hit his receivers in stride, then I think we're going to be all good. But I think that's the way defenses will be set up. Contain him on the run, take away the long ball, and see if he can beat you with his accuracy.
You are a football guy. Very well, very astute. I agree 100%. The one thing that's bothered me the last couple of weeks is that we haven't been able to get anyone deep like we did at Missouri.
Well, that's because probably teams are playing against that.
Eastern, for sure. They wanted to make us run, and we ran mm-hmm. it on them. But you're absolutely right, and that's the one area that Juice still, I think, has to improve more than the others, is that mid-range pass. Mm-hmm. Along with that, that's where Cumberland returning will help out. And again, we've got to get Ben involved more. Yep. And remember the Rose Bowl. Ben caught that mm-hmm. pass. You know, what was it, a 10, 12-yard pass? He turned it into a 60-yard touchdown.
One of the most talented players in the country. And, you thought he was going to take the next step this year, and hopefully he still will. He seems, if I could use the word, restricted this year. It doesn't look like Aurelius Ben is having fun. We got to get that enthusiasm back, that joy of the game, get him involved, absolutely, the opening game against Missouri. You know, the national TV game,
right,
that featured Jeremy Macklin from Missouri and Aurelius Ben from Illinois. Jeremy Macklin played with fun,
right,
enthusiasm. They got him the ball. Illinois needs to do that same thing with Aurelius Ben. I just want to see him smile and enjoy himself and get the ball.
Well, I'm going to ask, we're going to bring in our next guest, and I'm going to ask him the first question because this leads perfectly right into it. Thanks, Coach, for teeing it up for me. Our next guest is Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. Lindsey, how are you today?
I'm doing great, fellas. How you doing?
Good, good. You finished lunch?
I have finished lunch. I nothing against coming. I'm a little irked that Mr. G couldn't be bothered to show up for my maiden voyage here on South Carolina. But you know, that's okay. I think I may boycott him if he's boycotting me. I'm never coming on again if he's on.
No, Mr. G's doing good philanthropic work in Arizona. He'll be back next week, and I promise you he will make it up to you. But we found as good a pinch hitter as we can. You know, John Cone, the coach from the Comcast broadcast of high school ball and the
I
morning
break.
I did not
have any philanthropic work in Arizona this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, anyway, Lindsey, let's get right to it. Has the last week or so, do you think that Loxley has kind of held back a little the offense, especially Ben again? I mean, Ben had like four or five touches Saturday, and, he's obviously got to have a lot more.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I didn't think about it too much as the Lafayette game was unfolding, but then afterward I went back and looked at my play-by-play, and I want to say that every play in the third quarter was either Dufresne or Juice, and every play, even the first drive of the fourth quarter was all Dufresne or Juice, and it did make me wonder that, you know, I'm thinking they were trying to develop some of the stuff. They threw more to
Michael H., I call him.
Yeah, Michael H. We'll call him Uh-Oh here. That'll just make it easier. And then so actually I asked Ron Zook yesterday, Sunday, on his call that, you know, Ben had no touches in the second half. Was it something Lafayette was doing or something you guys were just trying to develop other things? And he said, no, they had a couple things called for Regis in the second half, and they just, for whatever reason, either they checked out of them or Juice had to scramble on those plays. It just didn't work out. So I'm not really sure. Clearly they need Regis to be special if they want to do something special in the Big Ten. He has not done that, and really they haven't put him in many spots to do that since the Missouri game.
Right. You know, I think you were sitting at the table with me and a couple other of the guys that ran Tool with Loxley. And one of the things that was very interesting, and I'll never forget, and he said that he does not call plays first and second down based on down and distance. That his plan is to get so many guys, so many different touches. And, you know, obviously third down, you got to do a little down and distance analysis. But, you know, I found that very fascinating. And again, you know, looking at the stats, you know, we had roughly 60 plays. And if you like to go 30-30 out of 30 pass plays, you got to throw to Ben at least 10 times.
You would think so, and again, going back to the play-by-play, I was looking back to see what they did. He had what, three rushes and one reception
right
on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. There was one they threw to my, I want to say two more, three more times. There was one that Juice got picked off, where he threw it pretty much right to the linebacker instead of throwing it to Ben. There was another where Juice scrambled or rolled right and tried to hit Ben on the sideline about 15, 20 yards down. He was double covered and kind of threw behind him, and it would have been, you know, a fortunate thing if anything good would have happened there. And then I want to say the third was a bomb that was well overthrown. And other than that, that was it. And I get, you know, I don't know if you have to throw it to Ben a third of the times. I don't know if there has to be a Regis ratio like there was a Randy ratio for Randy Moss, but clearly he's the guy. If he does get the ball in his hands, he's hard to tackle. It takes a couple guys to bring him down, or at the worst, then you have a safe. You have the corner who's always dealing with him, and then you have the safety always paying attention over the top, as Missouri did. It just throwing it to him just opens up several more things for Duvall, for Cumberland, for Judson, for for the running game. You're getting him in the mix, if only just to put the fear of Regis in the other team.
Right. Speaking of he had a tremendous game, career numbers, receiving. Let's see, how many? He caught five balls for 74 yards. And really, I mean, that wasn't a surprise to me. I think he's got that ability. It was nice to see them go there. And again, I'm going to give Loxley the benefit of the doubt that maybe on Saturday they wanted to kind of work on a few things that didn't involve Regis because they know what he could do. And hopefully, you know, we'll see the full package 2 weeks at Happy Valley.
I would agree with that.
Give us your assessment. All in all, we'll get to the defense in a second. As long as we're talking offense, you know, give us your assessment on, you know, what we thought we were going to see when Rantoul started, where we are now, and where we have to go, you know, with the offense.
You know, this is so hard to evaluate because, you know, if you had told me in Rantoul that Juice is going to put up 450 yards against somebody through the air in one game, the third biggest game in Illinois history, and he was going to run for 174 in another game, and Dufresne was going to have games of 126 and 99, and Duvall was going to be, you know, the reincarnation of Chris Carter, and all he does is catch touchdowns, and you would have done this pretty much without Cumberland, and you would have gotten gotten him rolling, have him have 10 catches in three games. I would have thought, wow, Illinois has really made progress, and they've developed some weapons, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. but because these have come in weird order, that Juice put up the big numbers against Missouri, and then didn't throw so well against Eastern, and then he even took another step back statistical wise against Lafayette. Suddenly, if I'm an Illinois fan, I'm more concerned than fired up that this offense is doing what it is capable of doing.
I'm concerned about the offensive line more than the skill positions. Palmer was starting. It's been printed. I've read where he was, maybe on the verge of losing his starting assignment. He got hurt. Jeff Allen, a pure freshman from King High School, I believe, came in, and I thought did a pretty good job. I thought I saw, because, the press box there, we're very high up in the sky, but I thought I saw Randall Hunt on the sideline, not in uniform. So we're getting pretty thin on the offensive line if another injury occurs or, what do you know about, and the backups are either redshirt freshmen or pure freshmen. We got names like, Graham Posick and Corey Lewis on the pure freshman side, and Cornell and Craig Wilson on the redshirt freshman side. Are those guys going to be able to help us if we need them? And odds are we might.
Yeah, see, that is one of the areas of concern. Obviously, you had to fill two spots coming in after last year. Eric Block has done a fine job as Martin O'Donnell's replacement at the left guard. He's been fine. And as Zook did address on Saturday, Ryan Palmer was kind of skating on thin ice at right tackle. That's where Akeem Millington held it down real solid last year. And they love Jeff Allen. They think he's a player. Obviously, if he's a true freshman, he's going to probably start at Penn State. He must be something. But I was looking into it last night. Illinois has now started a true freshman on the offensive line since 1997 when Ray Redziniak did it, and that was back when Ron Turner was kind of starting from scratch with the Illini. So it's I don't care how talented Jeff Allen is or will be. It's never a good idea, unless your name is Jim Jeriga, to have a true freshman in there on the offensive line. And people are going to exploit that. Penn State has a terrific pass rush. They have an excellent front seven. They're going to attack that kid to no end, and that's really worrisome in such a big game as Illinois Penn State is going to be. Any little weakness can spell doom for you.
That kind of leads to another subject Coach and I were talking about before we brought you on, and that is, in my opinion, Juice's running ability needs to be part of the offensive game plan, and it wasn't on Saturday. It was clearly at the Eastern game. In Missouri, I'm not sure, because in the first half they were stuffing everything, but especially now with the offensive line position, and we actually saw it in the fourth quarter when Lafayette kind of cut the gap. It almost looked like the Ohio State game, where on the next series, Juice kind of just took the ball by himself and started running. And I believe that's got to be a conscientious part of the plan. What do you think, Lindsey?
I think that's a good point. That goes back to my belief that Loxley was holding some stuff back and wanted to see new things emerge in the Lafayette game, because Well, first of all, Lafayette played their option responsibilities really well and pretty much made sure that Juice had to kick it to Dufresne or LeShore or whoever was running the option with him. They wanted the running backs to beat him if they were going to get beat on the ground. But having said that, Juice needs to be a part of it. They deliberately kept him from being a part of it against Lafayette. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Well, as like you say, until it got close and they ran a couple Juice draws and did some things more designed for him. And actually, if you go back to the Eastern Illinois game, they didn't really run so many things designed for Juice. He had several scrambles where he was just bigger and better and faster than Eastern Illinois guys when things broke down, and he could do whatever he wanted. Same on the option. He could pretty much do what he wanted. So we really haven't seen, and Missouri, they sacked him five times. They bottled him up. We really haven't seen them unleash Juice as a runner yet.
Lindsey, we got to take a quick break here. Can you hang on with us for a couple minutes?
Sure, that'll be fine.
Okay, terrific. We've got Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald's going to hang with us for a few more minutes after break. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
You make plans for just about everything. For the weekend, for the vacation, for your daughter's wedding. But have you created a financial plan for the rest of your life? Now may be the perfect time to do it. AXA, Financial Protection. For more information, call Stephen King, Financial Consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You buy the car you want at ReserveCars.com. ReserveCars.com.
It's true. We'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at ReserveCars.com. ReserveCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
Across the country and around the world, this is TalkZone.com, the best in Internet talk radio.
Third and goal from the 10. Now they send Ben in motion. Illinois up 10-3, trying to tack on some more juice. Throw to the left, caught by Dufresne at the 5. Dufresne dives for the pylon. Did he get it? Is he in? He is. Touchdown! Touchdown, Illinois!
Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
Again, we're back talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We want to thank Ed Bond and the Illini Sports Network for the highlights. We have on the line Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. Lindsey, let's talk a little defense now. I thought we were much improved. Again, Lafayette came into the game. I think their first game they ran for 300-plus yards, and we held them to 87. Brent was back in the lineup. I thought him and Legit did okay alternating, with the exception of the penalties on Brent. Will Davis got moved back to his normal defensive end spot, and I just thought the line, there was more activity, a little more emotion, pressure on the quarterback. Aside from those personnel changes, did you see anything else, maybe scheme-wise, that, you know, helped Britt Miller get in there for all those tackles?
You know, it's hard to say scheme-wise, simply because Lafayette runs a little different stuff than the previous teams did. However, I do think having a bigger guy there at defensive tackle, having Corey Legit or Josh Brent there at right there on the nose, I think that does a better job of keeping guys off of Britt Miller, keeping guys off of Tez, and allowing them to make more plays. And also, I think Brett has addressed a few times, it takes plays, some experience to kind of know where you fit, know where you should be in the middle there, and I think he's feeling more and more comfortable each week. So it's a combination of the lineup, the getting more plays, just the maturation during a season.
I noticed in the secondary there was really little substitution this week, other than Garrett Edwards playing on nickel. Bussey, I don't think, had too many snaps on defense. They're now talking the long-awaited rival of Dante Hardeman in the backfield. I was saying to Coach earlier that I don't see any way that they're going to start this kid at Penn State. I'm not even sure I'll believe it when I see it when he's on the field. But if and when he gets in, is he replacing Flowers or Bellamy, or where do you see Dante fitting in?
I think he replaces Flowers there, although depending on... I mean, Penn State has this spread HD, whatever the heck that is, different than a normal spread. Then you would probably see Bellamy at the nickel, and then Flowers and Hardiman at the safety. I really think they're counting pretty extensively on Hardiman, and that's been one of the downers of the first three games, that he has not been able to play in those games due to his knee and lose some valuable time. They were already disappointed he couldn't make it there in the spring and pick up the defense that fast, because they wanted him to start right away. So now this puts him even further behind. They really like this kid. They really want him out there, but like you say, he probably can't start at Penn State. He can probably only get, I don't know, 20, 30 snaps, however much they feel they can cram into him in these 2 weeks before the Penn State game.
Let's look at the conference now as a whole. Has there been, you know, who has surprised you either on the good side or the bad side, looking at the other teams in the conference?
I'm a little disappointed that Ohio State has looked so poor, both against Ohio and USC. I mean, if you have 20 returning starters, you know, I realize Beanie Wells didn't play, and he's a really good running back and the Heisman Trophy contender and all that. I'm sorry, that still leaves you 19 returning starters and one of the nation's best linebackers, one of the nation's best corners, two of the nation's best tackles, a quarterback who had nice numbers last year until he got into the big games against Illinois and USC and Michigan. You should be better than that. There's no excuse for laying eggs like that. Wisconsin, pleasantly surprised with Wisconsin, pleasantly surprised with Minnesota. Iowa, well, they haven't played anybody good, but they've done what you need to do to get to 3-0. Northwestern has done what they needed to get 3-0, and they've been really solid and haven't turned over the ball. I would say I'm like most of the people around the nation. The Big Ten shouldn't really be patting itself on the back for having a nice win-loss record, because in the games where it's been really big games, they haven't turned out too well. Illinois loses to Missouri. Ohio State gets waxed by USC. Wisconsin does win at Fresno State, which is nice. But other than that, what does the league have to hang its hat on, really, in the first 3 weeks of the year?
Right.
Even if it's down, though, it appears we don't know how good USC is. They might just be that good that Ohio State still is a really good team. But, Lindsay, it appears that you know, there's no dominant team in the Big Ten this year. Maybe overall it's down. But from a spectator-fan standpoint, it is a competitive conference. No dominant team, a lot of teams that can win. So I think from an enjoyment standpoint, watching week to week, game to game, I think it's still going to be a heck of a Big Ten football season.
You know, and that's really a good point, because when we get into it the following Saturday here, you know, who's going to win these games? And, and early on down the line, we don't know that much better than them. We know they've skunked a couple poor teams. We don't. Minnesota's done, you know. Who knows? We can't pick any of these games that are, you know, coming out just based on the different opponents, different performances, so on and so forth. So from that point, yeah, it is very it's the NFL. It's parity, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
One team you didn't mention was Penn State.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot about them. They've steamrolled everybody.
They look as good as anybody. Now again, I got all the schedules in front of me, and of course it's very soft and. And most of the teams don't even have a tough game, like at least we had Missouri. But
by the way, the Penn State people, from what we hear, are listening to this program, trying to pick on any tendencies we might give away for the Illini. So be careful what you say.
And we gave away a lot.
So that's the rumor I hear.
But Penn State has just, I don't care who they're playing, they've annihilated everybody. And that's what you got to do. That's what I hope that we would do that we haven't. But, you know, and they're pretty balanced. They got about 1,600 yards in three games, 800 apiece on offense and running and passing, rather. And they're only giving up, what did you say earlier, about 60 yards rushing. So, you know, we're going to need Juice to be scrambling a little, and we're going to need, and Coach pointed out, the short passing game is where maybe if you had to pick one area where Juice needs improvement and the squad does, maybe that's the area. What do you think about that?
You know, that's been one of Juice's things ever since they trotted him out for those as a true freshman against Eastern Illinois and Rutgers and so on, is that he is, you know, it's, you watch other quarterbacks and you never see him off by 3 yards one way or to the left or to the right or so on. And obviously Juice has gotten better over the course of 3 years, but the slant to Regis Ben Saturday against Lafayette that was picked off by the linebacker that shouldn't be picked off. He throws behind Jeff Cumberland on a slant that would have been a touchdown late in the first half if he leads him as opposed to throwing it a couple yards behind him. Now Ron Zook will tell you that as often as not, it's the receiver who's not getting to the right spot and there's a miscommunication there. But still, that should be everywhere. There are still some kinks in Juice's game, and that'd be huge. You're going to have to loosen up Penn State somehow, and being able to throw some down and out darts and some slants and stuff would be huge.
Our guest is Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. You're talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. You can give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. We got some gift certificates to give away from Wildfire and Lou Malnati's. Enough of the team for now. A couple other – we first want to talk I don't want to let you go before we talk a little bit about Saturday night at the Assembly Hall, Lindsey. But before
basketball.
Yeah, yeah. It's not too far away. And, in fact, at the beginning of the show, we did since Coach coaches the women at North Shore Country Day, we had a little mention of our friend Jeremy Richmond. But before we get into basketball, a couple quick questions. Actually, from Mr. G wants to pick your brain a little. What's your favorite town to cover a game outside of Champaign?
And we're keeping it in the Big Ten here?
Yeah, let's first start with the Big Ten.
Okay. Because otherwise I'd like to be in New Orleans or San Antonio for the Final Four. Those are my favorite venues.
Okay.
And, of course, you can't be Pasadena for the Rose Bowl either. That's,
right.
That's pretty nice. Dude.
Right. How about Big Ten City?
Big Ten. Wow. You know, I like Columbus. Obviously, it's the biggest of the Big Ten cities. I've only been to Penn State once and have never been out there for football, so this will be a first coming up here in a couple weeks. I'm intrigued to see how that craziness pans out. Ann Arbor's nice. Minneapolis nice. I guess I would say Columbus.
Okay, and
Evanston Chamber of Commerce, you know, they revitalized the downtown Evanston area, Lindsey. You check it out next Northwestern.
Oh, I wouldn't even count in Evanston because I'm there so often. That's like a home game. It'd be like saying I'm in Naperville. I love covering in Naperville.
It's hard to pad the expense account when you go to Evanston.
Exactly. There's only so many miles like I can put on cover.
Lindsey's been around for a while. Trust me, he can do it.
Lindsey, go with football first and then basketball. The best interview player-wise since you've been covering the Illini.
Players or ever?
Pardon?
Are we talking current players or
ever?
Are we talking ever?
Ever.
Boy, you know, Britt Miller's pretty high up there. Jay Lehman was pretty good. I enjoy talking to Regis. He doesn't have any problem mincing words and saying what he wants to say. Oh man, there have been characters that I'm sure I'm forgetting. Football. Oh, I'm gonna have to go with these guys for now. I'm sure I'm gonna kick myself in a few minutes and then think of somebody else.
All right, how about basketball?
Basketball. I'm a big Brian Randall fan. I shouldn't. I mean, I try to take anything personally and try to just treat these guys as guys and not get too high on them, too low, or do anything more than be a dispassionate observer. But every time I saw Brian Randall getting ripped on message board, you know, it just bugged me because that dude put in more time and more effort to try to be a player than anybody else at Illinois, and he got nothing but bad luck. And to see people think he didn't have it or dogged it or whatever, I just bugged me. Plus, he was such an intelligent guy to talk to. I loved Brian Randall. D. Brown, you know, filled our notebooks from the front to the back whenever he wanted to turn it on. He was unbelievable. Oh, boy, let's go back. Lucas Johnson, just from seeing him Saturday night, that reminded me that he was always pretty good.
We'll tell Coach the Lucas Johnson story in a moment.
quiet, shy guy. Once you got him out of his shell, he's actually a nice guy.
Yeah. If you press the right button with him, then he was okay.
What about who's your least media favorite guy and your worst nightmare? You go up into a press box ready to write your story. Who's the guy you least want to see sitting next to you? And don't say Les Grobstein because we already used him on our show. I kid, of course, because I know Les.
Yeah. You know, I'm in that vein. The only press boxes I don't like being in are where they don't rope off, or they don't have special spots for the radio guys to do their thing, because the radio guys are doing their post game. This is more happens when I'm covering the Cubs or the Sox, and the radio guys want to get on the air and do their post game reports live, and we're sitting there trying to think of not use the most boring verb we can, maybe the second most boring verb we can, and it's a little distracting. I feel like I can pretty much work anywhere. I try to tune out stuff as best I can. I'm not really bothered by good or bad or loud, or usually I'm probably the most obnoxious person in the press box. So probably when you have other people on, they'll probably say Lindsay never shuts up, or he's singing, or cursing at his computer or something. So maybe I'm the worst. I don't know.
I can speak from personal experience. The radio people, very, very annoying.
There you go.
Out of this coaching staff, who do you like to talk to the most?
Football or basketball?
Football.
Football. I enjoy talking to a lot of the guys. I enjoy Locks. I enjoy Reggie Mitchell. Zook is pretty good, although, I mean, he has to talk so often that sometimes he has to repeat himself just to make sure that he gets the point across. Coach Sims, the defensive line coach, is good. Eric Wolford, offensive. Dan Dish, the co-defensive coordinator, almost to a man. I enjoy talking to all the Illini assistants or coaches on football, basketball. Bruce will talk for a year and a day. I feel terrible for the man that he likes to talk, and everyone loves to talk to him because he'll tell you what's exactly on his mind, and so he's a go-to guy all across the nation when people want to get a straight story. Wayne McClain, cool. Jarrence Howard, he's a Pied Piper type, and he's great recruiting, but he's so busy and so wrapped up in that, you can't hardly get him to return your call. But for the most part, Illini coaches are I would say, above the norm in the coaching world.
Well communicated in this year of a political national election.
He did leave out Chris Peacock, the compliance director we had on earlier in the show. A fascinating interview, too.
Ah, well, I haven't gotten to that one yet, but I'm sure when I need that, that's a go-to person, right?
Okay, Lindsay, we got a couple more minutes with you. Thanks very much for spending some time with us today. We sat near each other on Saturday night at the Assembly Hall as one that grew up in Champaign, as I assume a pretty diehard Illini fan, even though you went to school elsewhere and now covering the teams for oh so long here. Give us take your reporting hat off and just give us and the fans a little personal perspective of the night and how you felt in the Assembly Hall watching all these guys come out of the tunnel and have a little fun on the court with a little scrimmage.
You know, it's funny you say try to take the reporting hat off. You know, I can't really do that anymore. That's kind of hard to do. Just for a little background, I grew up in Champaign. I finished high school in 84, finished college in 88. So, and I think I might have said to you something to you about where the heck is Ephraim Winters here tonight, because Ephraim Winters is my all-time favorite guy. No one will ever come along. It's just that irrational kid thing where you pick one kid, you pick one guy, and he's your guy forever.
Yep.
But in any case, you know, I can't see Aaron and D and those guys I covered for so long as anything other than with my reporter hat on. I just can't. But to see the last time I was truly a fan, I think I got my job at the Herald maybe a week or two after that 89 Final Four was over. So I was out of work, so I went and followed the team, you know, for the first weekend at the Hoosier Dome. So Nick Anderson and those guys are kind of, I still regard them as more as a fan as opposed to reporter. And to see Nick Anderson out there, essentially as great as he was, 20 years ago, that was kind of a kick for me. I would love to have seen Derek come back. That would have been unbelievably sweet. I mean, I still remember 25 years ago playing in an arcade spaceport or whatever they called it in Champaign, and you know, I had to leave, and I gave Derek Harper my Pac-Man game in the middle of it because Derek Harper was hanging out at the arcade. You know, that would have been cool to see him. It was cool to see Lucas Johnson out there getting hurt as opposed to hurting people.
He came out with a bloody nose, believe it or not.
Yeah,
not surprising.
From a Brian Cook, well, his own teammate. Kind of fitting.
Yeah.
All in all, the whole night I think went better than I could imagine or anyone could have imagined. The banners were sweet. The crowd was appreciative. If only that had air conditioning in the Assembly Hall, it would have been an A-plus night, I think.
One thing I thought that was real interesting, first of all, the attendance, it was just maybe 1,000 or so people short of capacity. You know, just the top rows of C-section weren't occupied.
Amazing.
It was. And also, as I looked around, I mean, you saw a lot of adults and families, more so than the students. You know, again, there's something about seeing the old guys, you know, just like you said, you know, Nick Anderson to... You know, I happen to, you know, on the video coach, on the video board at each timeout or something, they showed some key highlights, you know, the Arizona game at Rosemont and the clinching to go to the Final Four in 89 in Minnesota. And they showed Nick Anderson's long shot to beat Indiana at Indiana that year. And I looked over, and Nick was looking up at the board, and you know, you remember that great big smile that he had, and that you saw it there live and in person for the first time in so many years, and then you know, Kendall Gill and Stephen Bardo going up to him and, you know, putting their arm around him and stuff like that, and that was very neat. And in the game, Nick was bearing threes as usual. He wasn't running and jumping too high, but
he had that reverse dunk on the breakaway, though.
Yeah, he did. He did
up for that.
Did have one of those, and of course, Darren was you know, he's the modern number one guy. Although I was explaining to someone, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lindsay, I think D might have been the last guy they announced to come out for the banner thing because you know. Darren got a tremendous ovation, but D got a louder one.
D is still the man. Darren Williams could go off and win gold medals, you know, lead the Jazz to 6 world championships and become the Michael Jordan. I think D is still, unless he somehow takes a coaching job at Indiana years down the line, is always going to be the man with the biggest roar.
Right,
and that's just how it works.
And you know, they had all the guys were out on the court underneath their flag, were ready to pull down a little ribbon, the flag, and D was the last guy, and he went around the entire rectangle, slapping five and hugging the older guys, and that was just very, very cool and emotional, and that was D, and he forever will be one of the faces on Mount Rushmore of Illini basketball, certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah, you couldn't have put that better. Yeah, that was perfect, D, doing that little circuit around and, you know, slapping Red Kerr's hand and all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful, and whoever decided to have D come out last, you know, had the right thing in mind. Lindsay, we really appreciate you spending some time with us here. We'll definitely get you on as we get further into the conference and as basketball season starts. Any one last word for Illini Nation on keeping our head up going into Penn State? And I'm still going with 6-2 in a January bowl game.
I'm going to go with 5-3. Maybe even 4-4, just because I'm afraid there'll be one that slips away that none of us could even envision right now. Words of wisdom, I don't know if I have any of that, but if and when you have Steve Bardo on, ask him about the time I buried 3 straight jumpers in his face playing at Impey back in '89, shortly after the Final Four.
Okay, duly noted. We'll definitely ask him. Thanks again, Lindsay. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Hey, Coach, good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Yep, see you, fellas.
Okay, bye-bye. That was Lindsay Wilhite from the Daily Herald. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Back for the final 15, 20 minutes in a moment.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club.
Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find a location nearest you.
Ever wonder how to stay relaxed in today's fast-paced society? Well, here is a stress-reducing message from Lou Malnati's Pizzeria. Instead of relying on Zen, yoga, or squeezing rubber stress balls, melt away your tension with a mouth-watering Lou Malnati's Pizza. A feeling of inner peace will arrive the moment you inhale the smell of mozzarella cheese covered with sweet and tangy tomatoes and your choice of delectable toppings. Enjoy true serenity by visiting one of the 28 Lou Malnati's pizzerias located all across Chicagoland. They'll serve up Lou's award-winning deep-dish pizza piping hot and fresh from the oven. Or sit back and let Lou's come to you, because all 28 locations deliver. Just take a deep breath, blow everything off, and call 1-800-LOU-TO-GO today to find the Lou Malnati's Pizzeria near you. Or visit them 24-7 at loutogo.com for locations, maps, menus, hours, and delivery zones. Relaxation therapy is now complete.
It's the First Amendment. Broadband style.
Now stand by.
TalkZone.com. You're talking Illini on Talk Zone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
Hello, Illini Nation. Boz and Mr. G talking Illini on TalkZone.com. We got the coach, John Cone, from the morning break, 12:40 a.m. in Chicago, 10 to noon. Pinch hitting for Mr. G. And someone's ears were buzzing because I think Mr. G's on the line now. Wants to make sure he's not going to lose his job, coach.
Hey, Coach. Hi, Boz. How's it going?
Mr. G, how are you? Did you have the suntan lotion on? Or
It's about 100 degrees here in Phoenix. I'm poolside at the Ritz-Carlton, about to walk into a meeting, but I thought I'd take a break and talk to you guys.
Tremendous shoes to fill here, Mr. G. A lot of pressure on me, but I've been I'm trying to pinch it like Dwayne Wise did for the White Sox last night.
John, you're, by the way, was that not an amazing game?
Wow. Wow. Please fix our bullpen, by the way, though. It was a great game, but the bullpen, somewhat problematic, Mr. G.
Scott, do you know there was a no-hitter in baseball last night?
Hotel somewhere. I never want to see him.
Do you know there was a no-hitter in baseball last night, speaking of a tremendous game?
I heard. Yeah, it's all good news.
Okay, Lindsey Wilhite was insulted that you weren't here on his maiden voyage on Talking Illini.
And how was Lindsey? Did he share any words of wisdom with you guys?
Lindsey was awesome as usual.
I asked him a couple of questions, and then he was even more insulted.
So did you get my email question?
Yes.
Who had a worse day, the chairman of Lehman, Locks, or Turner in the fourth quarter?
It might be a tie.
Well, I think Lehman Brothers chairman, he has to be, you know, on top of that list.
Yeah, sorry to say, unfortunately. Hopefully,
John, did you watch the game on Saturday, John?
Limited action only. I was actually announcing a high school football game, so I only caught some of the highlights.
Let's tell Mr. G about the Niles. Did you hear about the Niles North game?
Niles North, Niles West?
Yeah. Guess what the final score was?
Final score, I have no clue, but by the tone of your voice, I would say that Niles North killed them.
Well, coach, give them the score.
Niles North did win 64-63. And that was not overtimes, right? Regulation?
I didn't see any overtime. Yeah.
64-63, the Battle of Skokie won by the proud Vikings of Niles North.
It sounds like a basketball score.
Wow.
Actually, I don't think we scored that many when we were in high school.
No, I was going to say, I don't think Niles North scored that many in the last 5 years. Speaking of basketball scores, how about, what was it, Auburn Southern Miss? 3-2?
3-2.
And Auburn moves up in the rating. I don't understand that at all. I mean, I guess if you're playing soccer, that's a big scoring game. But, you know, for a football game, it seems like I'd rather watch paint dry.
Their baseball team scored more runs against each other than the 3-2 in that game. All right, so what do you want to know? You missed the game Saturday. You were out of town doing philanthropic work. Illini Nation is very proud of you.
By the way, I like the way you pronounced philanthropic. That was
I practiced.
Pretty impressive.
I didn't know you could do philanthropic work around the pool at a nice hotel. That's not a bad gig.
Mr.
I may get into philanthropy.
Mr. G could do lots of things. That's why he's Mr. G, you know that.
I was really disappointed in Locke's play calling, especially when we could have put the game away. We're up 17-3. Yeah, we had a couple setbacks, the holding penalty on Judson that called back a touchdown, and the drop ball by Duval. But you get into a third and a half a yard situation, you run out of the shotgun, you run your 195-pound halfback into the middle of the line without a lead blocker, and you let him go one-on-one with a 240-pound middle linebacker on two consecutive plays. To me, that's unconscionable.
Absolutely. I mean, the buzz in the box where I was simply, you know, what the heck? I mean, why not the fullback? Why not Juice? Especially because LeSure has, I think, you know, I mean, he's moved up the depth chart. It's kind of funny. Somebody asked Zook afterwards, or maybe Loxley, about, you know, where's Pollard? And Zook always says Pollard's okay, he's healthy, and Loxley said, he's still a little banged up, whatever. But, you know, LeSure's been the second guy in. He's done very well. He's what, 20 pounds plus bigger than Dufresne? And I agree. I mean, if you're going to go that route, either LeSure or Juice for that matter.
I mean, why try to outsmart anybody? You've got bigger bodies. Put the bigger bodies in a position to make the play and make the play. You don't have to trick somebody. You're not playing a superior opponent with superior talent. Line up, put your best players on their best players, and get the job done.
Well, I try my best to stick up for our guys, and I've been saying all day that and Lindsay agreed with me to some minor extent, at least, that, you know, maybe Loxley was holding a little back, or at least emphasizing doing some different things, because Regis only touched the ball four or five times. But in a play like that, there's no hiding, no tricking, right? You just go up the middle with your biggest guys. But let's not beat this dead horse. Cumberland played. Did you know that? Cumberland got on the field. Cumberland got on the field. Hardeman was suited up but didn't play. Michael H. had a terrific game, and I love to see any football team use the tight end. He had about five receptions, 70-something.
I actually watched three-quarters of the game on my Slingbox. Slingbox is this device where you can put it on your computer and actually watch any channel in your house remotely, as long as there's wireless or LAN access to a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that advertised, but so that it works pretty well, huh?
I actually watched the full site.
It's probably out of yours and my budget. That's why, Mr. G.
The price will come down, but you get the tight end involved, Boz. You bring up a great point, and get Cumberland back healthy. They're developing the other receiver, and if he can make Regis Benn a star, all of a sudden, with the running threat of Juice Williams, now you got an offense that defenses really have to fear a little bit and game plan for. We're not there yet, but there is the potential, Mr. G, that the Illinois offense could be pretty tough come midseason.
I'm less optimistic than you are right now. I think that there are a lot of question marks on this team, and I think that the break or the bye week couldn't have come at a better time for this team. Mm-hmm. They've got to fix what's wrong with this team. Otherwise, they're in danger of getting blown out at Penn State.
Well, so what's wrong?
Well, we still don't defend the run very well.
We did a lot better. They only had 87 yards.
We're doing a better job of it, but we still need to do better. Against a big, physical Big Ten team, teams are going to run the ball down our throat unless our linebackers stop missing assignments, unless they're in the right place, unless our D-tackles and our DNs start making tackles and penetrating without blitz help, we're going to be in trouble. I got to run, guys. The last thing I wanted to say to you is Josh Brent had two penalties that directly led to two scores by Louisiana Lafayette. I don't care how well the kid plays. You can't make mental errors like that in a big game against a good team. You can do it against a team like this, but those mental errors have to stop.
Agreed, but other than that, he played well, legit played well. The defense played a lot better. They held their stud running back to 28 yards. They did what they had to do this week. Yes, we have to now rev it up a notch or two and start being consistent all the way around, but I'm still sticking to my 6-2 conference record. What do you think?
I hope you're right. I've got us down for 4-4. Mm-hmm. Listen, John, Boz, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you guys.
Okay.
I've got to walk into a session right now.
Safe trip.
You guys are doing a great job.
Don't dive headfirst into the shallow end. Be careful.
Talk to you.
Safe travels.
That yeah, was Mr. G.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was Mr. G phoning in from Poolside, Arizona.
Not exactly optimistic on the beloved Illini here from here on out.
No,
I had him 11-1 taking on USC in a BCS game.
Well, you know, we'll see in 2 weeks. But even if the Penn State game does not come out the way we want it.
Yes.
As long as we're competitive, I'll be okay because there's a long season ahead. We certainly then the Michigan game the following week will be a must game.
Would you say a goal would be to win one of those two, and you're still doing pretty good?
Absolutely. Yep. If we come out of those with 1-1, we're okay. Obviously, 2-0 is better. But if we come out of those 1-1 and progressing and playing well, we're still in good shape in my mind. So that about does it for today. We want to thank the coach, John Cone, for coming in and pinch hitting like Dwayne Wise for Mr. G. You can hear John mornings 10 to noon on 1240 a.m., called the morning break. You want to give the phone number, John, where people could come in?
773-792-1240. Illini fans, we could have 8 callers on the line, Buzz. If you talk Illini football, hoops, or whatever, you go right to the front of the line.
All right, beautiful. And we might have a permanent segment every Monday morning with Big Dog and Boz. How
about
that? Big Dog and Boz on Illini football.
I'll step out for a few minutes and use the washroom.
That's terrific. We didn't need to hear that. But anyway, also we want to thank Chris Peacock, Don Harden, Lindsey Wilhite, our sponsors, Joe Rizza, RizzaCars.com, Lou Malnati's, Wildfire, AXA Advisors Financial Services, Coldwell Banker Residential Home Sales, and SunTracker Chairs. For next week, this is Boz with the coach, John Cone, pinch hitting for Mr. G. This has been Talkin' Illini on TalkZone.com.
Find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.